Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" I want to preach a question tonight on what's going to happen. What's going to happen? And I've thought on this for a week or so, and I can't get away from it because I think we're struggling in the world that we live in today, and I think a lot of reason that Christian folks are struggling is because we don't really understand what's going on. We don't understand what's happening right before our eyes. We see the news media, and you can take a lot of that with a grain of salt. We see how people are living and how different things is affecting our lives. And we understand that. It's a part of all of us. As we're going through there, we're part of something. But as we're part of something, we're trying to separate ourselves into something that's bigger than we are. And I think that's what the disciples was doing when the Lord set them down here on the Olivet Discourse, and he began to give them some insight to the things that was coming that they could be looking for. Amen. Now we know that Matthew is talking to the Jew, but it's not only for the Jew, but it's for me and you, so we can know the mind of God. Amen. And they asked him the questions. His disciples came to him privately and saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So they had some specific things they was asking him. Who, as you see, as they sat on the Mount of Olives and they looked out over Jerusalem, and what a marvelous sight that was to behold. Amen. Having been there and done that, I want to say I can just imagine when they, as the Messiah, Christ the Lord, was sitting there, and the disciples come to him privately, and they begin to ask him the questions on how things was going to transpire in the future. Now, needless to say, they were probably like most of us. They were probably looking at the near future. They want to know what is going to happen this week, next month, and this year. Amen? That's about that's about what we are. That's about where we are. That's about as far as we can see. Amen? But Christ was speaking of things that would happen, praise God, would be prevalent to His people throughout eternity. He said that things would begin to happen, praise God, as we begin to see this thing as it begins to come into place. Now, I want to look tonight just a little while. I want to kind of set a stage tonight, and maybe the next few Wednesday nights we'll look into this deeper and different aspects of it. And we'll see from the news media of a morning when we watch or we listen on our way to wherever we're going, and we can hear things transpiring. We need to be to a place, children, as God's children, that we could say, "Hey, you know what? I knew that was coming." Yeah. Amen. We're not supposed to be taken by surprise. Amen. We're supposed to be an informed people. Amen. And Jesus said it was written of Him in the volume of a book. Amen. Everything that we need to know. And God will add to it. He'll give us through the volume of the book that we need to know. Amen. And we see this thing playing out, and we can see how it's it's just getting bigger and bigger. I don't know if you've been listening to the news media, but this is a big thing now. It's called AI. Amen. AI is taking over everything, and literally, it's becoming big. It's artificial intelligence. Amen. And it's starting to invade, but we knew it was coming. You say, "Well, preacher, yeah, we've heard about AI for a long time." No. We've heard a whole lot before that. If you have your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12, this is what Daniel says. Daniel chapter number 12, verse number 4. If you got an old Scofield, it's on page 919. Daniel chapter number 12, verse number 4 says, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end, time of the end." Now Daniel's he's writing to the end, and he's written about the great tribulation. He's written about the resurrections, and he says, "Daniel, close up the book," he said, "and save it for the end." He said, "even to the time of the end, Many shall run to and fro. Now watch this. And knowledge shall be increased. Amen? So this AI stuff isn't something that should take us by surprise. Daniel tells us, Daniel chapter 12, the Lord tells Daniel, I said, that people be running to and fro. Hello? Sometimes you feel like you pass yourself going in as you're coming out. Amen? He said, people be running to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In other words, shall be increased. And we're seeing it. And in the last two decades, wisdom and knowledge has increased in an astronomical manner. In a magnificent and a good fashion, but in a bad fashion. Amen. I think it's growing faster than we are. Amen. And so we see this thing taking place. We see an explosion of knowledge that's taking place all over. It's not just in America. It's all over the world. Amen. So it shouldn't take us by surprise that this is happening, because God told Daniel this would be happening at the end of the time. He said, close it up till the end of the time. He said, it's for the last ages. It's for the last times. He said, it's for the last days. He said, praise God, when you see these things begin to happen, praise God. He said, just look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, man, glory to God. Church, we're getting to see it. We shouldn't be confused. We shouldn't be downtrodden. We ought to be excited, because God said this is what would happen. And we as the body of Christ in His last days, the dispensation of grace, are getting to see it fold out before our eyes. Amen. We're getting to see it. An explosion of knowledge. Of course, with that explosion of knowledge can come things that's not necessarily the better things. In Zechariah chapter number 14, Zechariah chapter number 14 and verse number 12, he speaks of plagues that will take place in the Middle East. Amen? Hello? I don't know about you, but I know about one of them that come out of the Middle East not long ago. Amen? It was called COVID. Come out of the Middle East, come out of a lab in China. Amen? And the sad part is they're not done yet. They're still working on that same stuff out of those same labs. Wonder why that is. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 12, it said, this shall be the plague whereon the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against, watch this, Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. You're talking about a plague. I'm talking about a devastating plague. It's going to hit. Amen. It's going to come out of the Middle East, and it's going to be a plague. It's going to be so detrimental. But praise God, it's going to be to those that have falsely persecuted the Jew. Amen. That's come against Jerusalem and against Jerusalem's people. Amen. It's not, hey, this isn't if it will happen, it's when it happens. Amen. I don't know about you, it doesn't sound like a pleasant plague to me. COVID is an awful thing. Influenza, type A, type B, all that are awful things that can take lives. But God said that He's going to send a plague, and Lord, that will smite the people who have fought against Jerusalem. Amen. There's many peoples today that's fighting against Jerusalem. There's many people days fighting against the Jew. Praise God. Listen, I won't tell you. God said those that will curse Israel, we fall under a curse. Talking about a mighty blow at our hammer them down. We need to be lifting them up. We need to be lifting each other up. Praise God. Hey, listen, we're no better than they are. They're going to come after them, and they're going to come after you, and they're going to come after me, and they're going to come after the church. But glory, hallelujah, I've led the last book and the last chapter, and said, praise God, we're a winner either way. Amen. We have victory in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We just got to stick together in one mind and one accord and allow God Almighty. Praise God, because we know what's going to happen. Amen. We know what's going to happen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, we just sit back and watch and say, I've seen that coming. Yeah, that's what God said would happen. Amen. You know what? When you can do that, it don't make us so fretful. Amen. When they're running to and fro, when our knowledge is increasing, when the plagues are coming, and they will come because God said they would. Amen. A plague. Amen. But he said in the midst of all that, said you're going to have a nation to be born. The rebirth of the nation of Israel that's going to take place because God said so. Somebody said that on May the 14th, 1948, Israel become a nation again. Amen. And they'll never cease to be a nation again. Amen. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 66. Isaiah 66. In verse number 8. Isaiah 66 and verse number 8, the Bible says this. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Amen. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to get to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all ye that love her. Praise God. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Praise God. Listen to what I said. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations. That ye may milk out in delight with abundance of her glory. Praise God. God says we can be satisfied in knowing that God is still on the throne. God's still fulfilling his promises. He's still taking care of those that he promised to take care of. And even those that, praise God, had disallowed him and rebelled against him, that had to be isolated and separated for hundreds of years. God said, I'm going to bring them back unto myself. Praise God. I'm going to restore them and they'll be born in a day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sounds to me like God is the ultimate promise keeper. Amen. He did that for the nation of Israel. Praise God. They were born in a day. He said they'd be he would bring forth in one day. And they went from not being to being in May the 14th, 1948, to being the nation of Israel. Amen. To the glory of God. So God brought them back, praise God, from the brink. Delivered them, praise God. Where's he delivered them to? He's delivering them to their home, to their land. Amen. He said the Jews will return home. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 7. Jeremiah 796 in the old Schofield. He said, therefore, behold, verse number 7. The days come, saith the Lord. Now he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Now I want to stop right here and reiterate this. When God says, behold, he said, pay attention. The days come. The days are coming. How do you know? Because God said so. And if God said so, praise God, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. Why? Because God said so. He said that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries, whether I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Amen. Praise God. God said they won't go there. They're not going to cut them down. They're going to abuse them no more. They're not going to say, well, these are the people that used to be. But praise God, God said they're going to be the people that are, and they're going to dwell in their land, their own land. How they get it? Because God gave it to them. Amen. See, the people don't understand. It was God's to give. Nobody else's. It belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Him. And praise God, what He has to give, just like salvation, praise God, it belongs to the Lord. But we can have it because it's His to give. Glory, hallelujah. And He gives us, praise God, His peace. He gives us His grace and His mercy that we might be saved. We don't have to die and go to hell.
Praise God. He said, I'll bring them from the north country and from all countries, whether I have driven them. He's talking about the dispersal because of their disobedience. God said, I had to bust them up and scatter them out. Amen. Kind of like turkey hunting. Amen. Turkey hunting, especially if places where they got a fall season. In fall season, it's different from the spring season. For spring season, it's mating season. But in the fall season, it's not. So it's harder to call them in. But what you do is you just find a bunch of them and you just run in. I mean, like a crazy man, run in, scream and shout, and just bust them up. That's what you call it. You run in, you bust them up, and they scatter all over the place. And you can find you a nice little secluded log to get behind, and then you can sit down and call and just purr and cluck and call them right back in. Amen? God said, hey, I've had to bust you up. I've had to scatter you out because you ain't listening to me. He said, I've had enough of it. I said, I had to disperse you into all the nations, all over the world. Amen? But he said, I begin to call you back, praise God, from the countries and from the places that you've been. And they're coming back. And they're coming back to their own land. I was reading an article yesterday. On an IDF soldier was talking about it. And he had spent a lot of time in the United States of America. And he was here. And when the fighting started, he left here and went back home to help. And he was talking about how he was amazed when he got there. And he got, even in the heat of the battle, and things is going on. And you know, a lot of times things are in disarray. And he said, it's just humbling to my spirit to look around. And they said, I'm fighting with Israelis. He said, I'm fighting with brother and sister Jews. And some from Egypt. And some from Jordan. And some from America. And some from here. And some from there. All over the world. They're coming, praise God. He said, why are they coming? He said, because this is their land. This is what God gave them. This is where God called them. And he said, they're flocking in. Amen. God done went in and busted them up. Now he's calling them in. And they can't help it. They're just going to the call. Amen. And amazing thing, he said, the amazing thing that I'm seeing, he said, all the little things is the little badges, whatever they have on their uniforms. Patches. He said, most of that they Velcro on. And he said, I got to looking and said, over here I'm seeing, and 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 over here I'm seeing. And he said, the Hamas and the enemy is seeing it too, and that they're scared to death. Their eyes is bulging out of their head, and they don't know what to think. Because on those little patches, there's a little patch that says Messiah. Glory, hallelujah. Hey, man, he said, some of them are saved, they're Messianic Jews, and some of them are saying, praise God, he's coming again. Hey, man, glory, hallelujah. That is, we're seeing signs all over the place. If we'll open our eyes and look, look in the book, praise God, and you can see them all around you. Praise the Lord. Something's fixing to happen to him, and it's unreal what God's doing. When those devout Jews, praise God, begin to put Messiah on the arms of their uniforms and they go into battle. Way, glory, hallelujah, shouting and praising. And the armies, the enemy armies fleeing from them because of what they see on their arm. Messiah. Amen. You see, with that bunch of, they don't know nothing about the, oh yeah, they know who Jesus is. Amen. Oh, he was a good prophet. Amen. Praise God. But as the woman at the well said, he's more than a prophet. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. He's the God of God, Lord of lords, and King of kings. That's who he is. Amen. The Bible said, Jeremiah said, the Jews are returning to their own land. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. We ought to be shouting. We ought to be excited. Praise God. You say, Pastor, why should we be so excited? Because, hey, we may get out of here without seeing death. Amen. We may be taking that plane our ride any day. Amen. Praise God. Ain't so much in here. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I've been reading and studying. I can't been able to do nothing but that. So I've been laid up for three weeks today. Amen. Boy, I just filled my head plumb full. Boy, I need to preach every day. Amen. I just unload. Praise the Lord. Give you a little bit of what God's given me. I'm so happy now. My soul, I can just bust. I'm seeing God Almighty moving. Praise God. So we see the nation of Israel. We see the Jews returning to Israel. Amen. We'll see a time when the Jews will no longer be under the Gentile domination. Amen. A time when the Gentile control will be released. Look over at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Verse 24, listen to what it says. Luke chapter 21, verse 24, it says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Does anybody know when the time of the Gentiles began? That's when Titus destroyed Jerusalem with 70 A.D. But the time of the Gentiles began, Brother Charles, whenever Nebuchadnezzar took the children of Israel, took the tribe of Judah into captivity. Amen. God told him, he said, listen, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to have to punish you. He said, if you don't listen to me, he said, and he told him, he said, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come down here, they're going to besiege you, and they're going to carry you off. They neither repented or asked God to help them. Amen. They trusted in themselves, and God had to deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. You know the story. For 70 years they was in a captivity under the hand of that king, that monarch. Praise the Lord. But we see this thing played out. As Brother Charles was saying, we see it fulfilled to the full, praise God. We see it fulfilled further, praise God, when Titus sacked Jerusalem in 70 A.D. Amen. He come in, destroyed it, town ground, just like the Lord said He would. Amen. They destroyed it down. They burned it with fire. They destroyed everything they could possibly done. And they scattered the Jews all over the place. Amen. But God has begun to change that thing around. He's put it in reverse. He's backing it up. He's putting the Jew back in their homeland, in their own land. Amen. Praise God. Now I want you to know, if you notice, if you pay any attention to what happens, many times over the decades that they've come to Israel, Israel would be attacked and attacked and attacked, and they would fight. They'd beat back the enemy. They'd take back the land and end some. Hello? Amen. God did that. Amen. Brother Bill, God did that. Israel won't take no credit for it. They'll say God did that. Take a little rat scrap army, praise God, and defeat Egypt and Israel. Egypt and Jordan, beat them back. Damascus, Syria, praise God, and just beat them back like it's no tomorrow. And then they would come up and they'd say, well, you know, we need to settle things. We need to get peace and get things calmed down. Would you just back off and just let them? And you know what Israel's not doing? And good for them. This time they said no. Said, we're not going to back off this time. He said, no, sir. Said, we're going to finish this. Amen. He said, we're going to finish this. He said, we didn't start it, but we're going to finish it. He said, because God Almighty said, this is ours. It belongs to us. We're tired of being manipulated. We're tired of being used. We're tired of being beaten and abused. He said, we're not going to stand for it anymore. And God, I believe God just turned them loose in the power of an Almighty God. And He said, you just take care of business. I tell you what the rest of the world needs to do is just stay out of the way. They don't need our help. Amen. They've got the greatest help that there ever was in Jesus Christ the Savior. Praise God. He's done made the difference. Amen. They're saying, hey, listen, we need change. We need to do this. We need to do that. And they say, hey, listen, we're not listening. Amen. So we don't want to hear it. We're not going to stop till the job is done. Amen. Now for these bleeding hearts that think, well, but you know, it's just bad that they treat those Gazan people like that, that they treat Hamas like that. They didn't start this. They were good to the Palestinian people. They were good to the people of Gaza. They were allowing thousands and thousands a day to come in, offering jobs, providing them health care, whatever they needed, they were getting. but they stood with the enemy. We need to be careful who we stand with. Amen. It's not but a flip of a coin to side the good guy and the bad guy. We need to stand with, praise God, with the nation of Israel. We need to stand with God's people. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see this thing, what knowledge is increasing. The Jew is back in the land. And now the Bible teaches that in these last days will be a time of communication like the world has ever known. Amen. Communication. Where the Word, things can instantaneously be all over the world. Who would imagine? I can remember my granddaddy when he was talking about the things in the book of Revelation, how they would play out and how the whole world would see these people and see these two men and see them preaching and praying and preaching the kingdom of God, amen, during the tribulation. And he said, I just don't understand it. Amen. I can. We got it. Right there. In the palm of your hand, praise God, you can see all over the world in an instant. Amen. And all over the world in an instant, a moment in time, you can see it all. Praise God. We see in Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11, verse number 7. It said, when they shall have finished their testimony, talking about the two witnesses. He said, when they shall have finished their testimony to me, shall that ascended out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. He's talking about Jerusalem. Amen. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. You know why? Because they're glad to see them go. These old wicked sinners, they tormented them day and night. Repent! The kingdom of heaven is coming. Praise God. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood up upon their feet. I'm talking about in resurrection of life. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Amen. Praise be to God. What a God. But he said there's going to be a time when there's going to be a world communication. It's going to be set up so that they can be two men that's going to be proclaiming the Word of God. And they're going to proclaim it for 3.5 years. And at the end of 3.5 years, the Antichrist, they're going to be killed, praise God. And they're going to lay dead in the streets. Nobody can pick them up, take them to a funeral home, or offer to cover them up, or bury the bodies. They'll be given sending gifts. It'll be all over the news. It'll be all over Facebook. It'll be all over X. It'll be all over everything. How did you see how them two men that's been disturbing us, giving us all this grief, praise God, they're gone, they're dead, taken out of the way. Amen. But in 3.5 days, praise God, that same liberal bunch, that same liberal media, that same communication was put out and said, hey, listen, look here, these men have got up. Praise God. And they're at it again. Glory, hallelujah. Communication, worldwide communication will be spread. Amen. Not only days of worldwide communication, but we'll see a time of deception in this world. Go back to Matthew 24, and we'll finish up there real quickly. Show you a couple more things right quickly. Just kind of sum this up. Amen. Jesus begins to talk to them. And he tells them in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. He said these last days, now listen to me very carefully, will be the days of large deception. Deception's going to be everywhere, all over the place. I mean, you can take your iPhone and you can begin to Google Christian sites and you'll get a smorgasbord. Amen. If you don't know your Bible, you better stay out of them. They'll mess you up as a termite in a yo-yo. They will. Because they got everybody's opinion. They got the all kind of different religions. They tell you everything but the truth. And I want to tell you, the ones that bother me the most is some of the ones that's most prominent. They get on, they buy a spot on the air, pay $3 million for it, and they get on there and they look you in the eye and they'll say, if you'll just pray this prayer with me, you'll be saved. You say, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? That's deception out of the pit of hell. You cannot be saved unless the Holy Ghost of God is dealing with your heart. Amen. It takes the Word of God. It takes Holy Ghost conviction, amen, for you to be saved. And those that are tell you to just look at them and pray this prayer with me are sending folks to hell.
Amen.
Amen. In a breakneck speed. That's why Jesus said, don't be deceived. And He said, don't be deceivers. We need to be geared up. We need to be on the right page. Knowing, praise God, that deception is everywhere. It's all around us. We need to go into this thing. That's why He told us, so we could go in this thing with our eyes wide open, knowing that deception is going to be rampant in these last days. Not only did He say that there'd be deception, but He said there'd be famines. Amen? He said they would be famines. Look at verse number 7. He said, for a nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing that. Amen? Somebody said, well, we're on the brink of World War III. We've been fighting World War III since 2011. Amen? You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? I'm saying when Islam, praise God, declared jihad on the United States of America and everybody else. We're at war. Amen. There've been some highs and lows, some lows, but praise God, we're at war. Amen. We're at war right now. Listen to what He says. He said, there shall be famines. Famines. You know what famine is? That's a scarcity for food. He said, you're going to run out of groceries. You're going to run out of things to put on the table. You're going to have to scratch and dig and hunt to find you some grub. Amen. I've been telling you for 2 years, you need to grow you a garden. Amen. Put some stuff back. Well, if you can't grow a garden, go to the farmer's market. Get you some stuff. Put it in some jars. Amen. Consider that, you sluggard. Praise God. All summer long, he runs his little legs off. Amen. From daylight to after dark. So how do you know? Because, praise God, I've cut on the light before and seen him after it. Amen. Praise God. But we got to consider the famine that's coming. Not only the famine, but the famine, but the pestilence. Pestilence is coming. Amen. Pestilence. We're seeing more and more of insects coming in, devouring crops and devouring fields and devouring farms. All the other things that pestilence does. It's destroying that we thought was ours, that we had, that we could enjoy. Amen. And Jesus said, watch out for the famine. Watch out for the pestilence. He said, watch out for them earthquakes. He said, them earthquakes, they'll shake you to the core. Amen. He said, I'm trying to get your attention. He said, if the famines don't get your attention, if the pestilence don't get... He said, is me shaking you up, is it getting your attention yet? They're happening all over the place. Earthquakes, volcanoes. We got one right there. We got one right there in Wyoming that could go any minute. It could literally go any minute. They've been expecting it for years. The seismic guys are watching it. And they said the activity's increasing day by day. And they said when it goes, it's going to go. Said it would kill in a radius of over 60 miles all the way around. It would spew ash into the sky, praise God, to where it would block out the sun. Where ash and soot would go for hundreds of miles and be as much as 3 and 4 feet deep. We're sitting on that in the middle of our country. God Almighty, praise God. You say, how does them things happen? Because hell is enlarging herself. Amen. Hell is enlarging herself. So we're seeing these things come about. But the biggest thing that we see, that you and I can see, that we should try to head off, look at verse number, Matthew 24 and 36. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He's talking about the end of the world when these things will come to pass. But look at verse 37. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were just living it up. Every day was just a normal day. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then, amen. He said, knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, just like it was in then Noah. Eating, drinking, married, and giving in marriage, just every day, just a normal day. A normal day without God. Without God. Noah was telling them, he was preaching every day. Hammer a while, preach a while. Hammer a while, preach a while. Saw a while, preach a while. Glory, hallelujah. Nobody wanted to hear it. Amen. Just his boys and his wife and their wives. And when it was all said and done, the critters were loaded, and Noah and his family got on, and the door was shut, everybody looked around and said, where'd that old crazy preacher go? Huh? Where's his family? So I don't know, but a little while he went up that ramp into that thing up there, and he got in there and looked out, and I seen him standing there looking out, and all of a sudden the door just closed. So where'd that rascal go? And about that time the sky opened up. It began to rain. You say, well, boy, that ain't much of a current. It never rained before. They were living under a canopy. And every day, God just allowed the dew to come up from the ground and watered everything. It never dropped a drop of rain, nowhere, no how. But all of a sudden, something started falling out of the sky. Amen. And then it started raining, and it rained harder and harder and harder. And next thing you know, he said he broke up the deep, and all of a sudden the springs in a well started coming. They all become artesian wells. And it started coming up. It'd be hard enough to deal with rain that was coming from the sky. But when you got it coming from the sky and you got it coming from the ground too, ain't much you can do. Amen? Unless you're in that ark. That ark is type of Lord Jesus Christ, that type of safety. Amen? What's going to happen to all our loved ones, praise God, if they ain't ready to go when Jesus comes, when that shout and that trump goes out? Amen? What are they going to do? They're going to be left behind. They're not going to be a bit better off than those folks that was left out when Noah floated away on that ark. They're going to be doomed and damned for eternity, lost without God. God help us, young'un. What's going to happen? Amen. They're going to get saved, born again, so they'll be ready to go home with us. That's our hope. We know what's going to happen. We see what's happening. But praise God, we know what needs to happen. Folks need to be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen.